If you believe that Jesus is good, give me an amen.
Amen.
The Lord is good.
All the time.
Let's open our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 42. We'll start from verse 5. We're into verse 13. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and its offspring, who gives breath to the people on it, and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will also hold you by the hand and watch over you. And I will appoint you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon, and those who dwell in darkness from the prison. I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things have come to pass. Now I declare new things. Before they spring forth, I proclaim them to you. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing his praises from the end of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you islands and those who dwell on them. Let the wilderness and its cities lift up their voices. The settlements where Kedar inhabits. Let the inhabitants of Selah sing aloud. Let them shout for joy from the tops of the mountains. Let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praise in the coastlands. The Lord will go forth like a warrior. He will arouse his zeal like a man of war. He will utter a shout. Yes, he will raise a war cry. He will prevail against his enemies. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Lord will prevail against his enemies.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, the Lord always prevails. He always prevails. Father, we thank you this morning. You woke us up. You gave us life. And most importantly at this point, you gave us a desire. That's why we are here. That's why we are tuned in. A desire. For that desire this morning, we say thank you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our hearts are open. Our hearts are open. And because we know you are going to give us something good in your word this morning, we declare as follows.
Now I declare
that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's take our seat. As you are sitting, taking your seat, greet somebody, please. And it can't be the woman you came from the house with. JK, I'm looking at you. Okay, let's start today, all right? From the book of James, chapter 1. We're going to start reading from verse 19. This you know, my beloved brethren. But everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, that is, prove to be doers of the word, not merely hearers who delude themselves. That is, those who hear only, they delude or they deceive themselves. He said, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, that is, hearers only are forgetful, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. If anyone thinks himself to be religious, now he has finished that, let's just add this one to it to complete the chapter. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. To keep oneself unstained by the world. That is good religion. That is a pure and undefiled religion. Okay, like I said, we have kind of, along the line, we picked a title for this series, which I didn't intend it to be a series, actually. Just wanted to share something briefly, but the thing did not finish. So that's why we are still here. So I called it The Power of Heaven, and that is the source of life. That is life being the vital force that keeps us thriving, prospering, healed, and all of that. That's what life is. The substance that flows out of God, all right, to keep us alive and to make us thrive. That is what we mean by life. So we'll be looking at that for some time. And personally, I found it an interesting journey so far in this particular series. Now, I've been trying to get to this point for a number of days now, but I think I finally got here today. I want to talk about what it means to be a doer of the word. A doer of the word. What does it mean to be a doer of the word? Now, first of all, let me explain. There are two kinds, in this context, there are two kinds of persons. There are hearers only, and there are hearers with doing. That is, there are those who hear and do, and they are called what? Doers of the word. Now, hearers, the word only must be added to them so that you don't forget that doers also hear. But hearers only, that the first group. But what James is saying, that we must be what? Doers. Now, I need to emphasize something about Christianity. Please, follow what I want to say closely. Christianity is about changing persons. Like somebody said, human beings are not human doings. They are human beings. There's something there to be. It is the being that leads you to the doing. And I want to emphasize this morning about the being that is called the doer. Do you get my point? The state of heart, the character of the person that's called a doer of the word. Now, you hear a word, you haven't done it, that is, you don't get my point, like you haven't acted on it, like we say. But right there, you're either a doer or you're a hearer only. It is not when you have done that I will know you're a doer. There, before you leave there, God can see. I may not be able to tell, all right? But God can see whether you are a doer or a hearer only. And that's what I want to teach this morning. Just to remind us, a hearer only is a kind of person. A doer is a kind of person. The way we tend to look at it is that go and act on the word. You know, I've been saying it. You can't act on the word. The word acts on you. And this, it may sound like just a nice cliche when you are preaching, like a nice rhyme. You know, you just want to sound like when you go to YouTube, say, you have been lied to all your life. I jumped such videos. Say what you want to say. Don't tell me I've been lied to. In fact, the last one that told me I've been lied to, he was the one now lying to me. Just a clickbait, just to get you curious. So that's not what I'm trying to do. When we make statements like that, that's not the point. When I say, you can't act on the word acts on you. Brethren, believe it when I say that. You can try. I'm not saying you can't try, but you will not succeed. Your job is to allow the word act on you. Your duty is to allow the word to act on you. The word is the one that acts. That's what you see. I say all the time, God is not a glory. Which word? Is it not a glory grabber? The glory God gets is the one that is what? Due. Glory is actually due to him. Glory is due. He's not glory hungry. Just go around, glorify me. That's not how God is. Glory is due to him because he actually deserves the glory. Do you understand? Like when he says, there is none good but God. If you find goodness
It's because God went there. Even if a person is an unbeliever, a normally wicked person, and he does good, just know God blew a bit of good in that direction, giving the person the capacity to do good. So, when somebody tells somebody like me now, says, thank you, sir, and I reply you with thank God, it's not humility, it's factuality. Write that in your English lexicon. You know, once you listen to me for a time, you have your own vocabulary. In fact, somebody should be helping me collate these vocabs because they have their own spiritual way of making the point get across. It's not humility. It is what? It's not humility. I'm telling you the truth. He said, thank you, sir. And I reply you, we thank God. I'm not trying to be humble. The truth is that there is none good but God. So that's why I kind of bounce it in the right direction. Do you understand? That's why, there was a time I finally found a place where Paul thanked people. You know, I was looking for it, all right? I think it's at the end of Romans, all right? But you look through his teachings. I couldn't remember. Where did God, Paul say, tell anybody, thank you? You know, I kept on saying, if you find, please tell me. I finally found one, only one, in all his letters that he thanked anybody. But it's always what? Thanks be to God, who always causes us. That's the way it is. He says that he's the one that's at work within you, willing and doing. So you do that which is pleasing to him. You see, thank him for the ability to do it. It's not humility. It's what?
Factuality.
Thank you. It's a fact. It's just the way it is. It's the one that gave you the strength. So that's why I keep on saying, you can't act on the word. If you find yourself obeying the word of God, thank him for the ability. First, the desire to obey, the ability to obey. There's nothing like, myself, I try. It's no, God try in my life. You know, are you getting my point? Like the way we say, speak our pidgin English. It's God that did it in my life. You find yourself to be a good husband, like Joseph here. He should be thanking God. But don't thank God too much in that way. I mean, you thank God for everything, but don't feel too wife. Let your wife do all the thanking God. You join her, you get what I'm saying? But not as if I thank God I don't make up. No, you never make up. I thank God I'm making progress. Do you know my point? Yeah, you thank God for any little progress you find in your life. Because indeed, there's none good but God. Do you take any credit? Let's not use the word glory. A bit of credit, yes. The credit is that you opened yourself to him. And that's one thing about life. Please, again, read my book, Someone is Controlling You. What you do in life is just what you yield yourself to. Where you go and expose yourself. When I wrote the book, Choice is Key to Destiny, that's the point I was making. That you see, in this life, you're just going to make choices that speak. The choices will speak that this is what I want in life. And once you let God know what you want, the thing will come to you. Now let me say that again. When you let him know what you want, that thing will come to you. Now, a lot of people say, but I've been wanting something hasn't come. You are looking on the physical level. Spiritual level is coming. A lot of us want to focus life on this, material side. For example, those days they used to say that, have you heard of opposites attract?
Yes.
Have you heard it before? Yes. On the real level, it's not true. Unbelievers don't attract believers. Opposite in that direction, they don't attract them. But you can say a quiet man is attracted by a noisy woman. A quiet man, yes, a noisy woman. He said, that man talks a lot. His wife is very quiet. How that guy can talk? But those are not the talk. See, you literally, really, in spiritual things, likes attract. Do you get my point?
Yes,
they're the ones that attract. The people that are moving in the same direction. to tell me that opposites attract is not so. It's on the mundane level, on things that don't matter. You can be saying that. On the things, in the areas that things really matter. No, opposites don't attract. In fact, that is when we start knowing where your heart really is. Do you follow my point? Yeah. Opposites don't attract. You know what I was saying? If you tell God something is important to you, you constantly, in the depth of the spirit, that's what you are telling him. That thing will come to you eventually. There's only one problem. What it will come with is not your choice. Did you follow me?
Yes.
If you love Egypt, they say go to the promised land. Your heart loves Egypt. You eventually die on your way back in your heart to Egypt because that is what it brings. And what I'm saying is in scriptures, he said if they were thinking of the country from which they came, they will have had what? Opportunity to return. The opportunities will start showing up. It's very important in this life. So one of the things you do as a believer, this issue of purifying your heart is crucial. The other day, I was supposed to do something, or go somewhere actually. I ended up not going. So, if I tell you the stories around it, you look like, oh, God didn't want you to go. But I kept on saying, Pastor Banke, let's just be sure it is God. Because sometimes, after, God will just leave you. So you don't want to go, no go. The circumstances will play. You'll be able to say, I knew God. God said, wait. Leave that thing. These circumstances that you're seeing had to come because of what you were thinking of. It's your opportunity to return. Do you get my point?
Yes,
so that's why I tell you, testimonies, me and testimonies. As I give you a testimony, I'm looking at you like this. Okay, you see, the door now opened. The door that you've been fighting about in the realm of the spirit. Why won't you open eventually physically? Again, that's why I'm very, very suspicious. When somebody keeps on saying to me, and then God now told me, I'm looking at you, phone. In case you don't know, I've been telling you so that you know how I'm thinking of you behind your back. Yeah, if you are the one that's already saying, then God now said, my spirit said, I'm looking at you like this. Just know that I don't believe a word. You are just telling yourself stories. Am I saying you are lying? No, I just don't. I won't quote you. I won't take you seriously. It just tell me it happened. Don't put God in this matter. One woman said, I know God said I should marry that man. I said, sis, that guy had a lot of money. God can easily tell me to marry that man. It's very easy. When you're a single woman, the guy comes, anytime he comes to see you, he drives a G class, GL. And if you guys go to eat, everybody goes to Mama Put, carries you to the most expensive restaurant in town. You chop somebody's salary at a sitting. And you kept on going to eat. God will be in that food after a while. God will be speaking to you. You now go and pray. When you finish praying, say, God said, sis, you can't eat that amount and not hear God. Be careful what you are eating. The food will behave like God and speak to you. That's why they say in Western Nigeria, it's a proverb that what a man doesn't want to eat, he should stop sniffing it. He said, I'm watching my weight. I don't like to eat meat pie. Let me check this. You baked it well. Leave that in. Bro, you go soon chop that meat pie. That's why it is about when a man sits, he first walks, then he stands, then he sits. Stop walking where you don't plan to sit eventually. Yeah, that's it. Stop walking in the place where you don't plan to sit eventually. Walk in the place where you are hoping. If it is a place you're not supposed to sit, don't walk there. I'm saying all of these things to just let us know that in our spirits, there's a desire that is there. Eventually, it produces something on the earth. So that is what you should address. And listen, as a Christian, let me just quickly say it. Your desire should be two things. You know, I keep saying two things. One, perfect transformation into the image of God. Two, fulfillment of everything that God planned for you to fulfill in this life. Let God know that is what is most crucial to you. That God, I can ask you for, you see, you know that car I told you I like? Yes. You know that house I told you I like? Yes. Give it to me. But he knows it is second to these two. So that if that will be an obstruction, we keep it aside. Say, Lord, you didn't give me like I said. And I said, no, it was not going to go with the most important desire of your life. To do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. That's the primary thing I'm targeting. Do you follow my point? It's very important to understand these things. So deep inside our heart, we are going for something. Please bear what I've said in mind. Please bear this thing I've established in mind. It's not what is on the physical surface. That's why God can talk to you in your dream. You come and meet Solomon. What do you want me to do for you? And it's in a dream. And Solomon makes an intelligent request in his dream. Do you know why? That was what was really inside his heart. That was what was really inside his heart. If God had asked him that thing during the day, maybe he would have been thinking of food that time. What do you want me to do for you? I've not eaten today, as an example. But when he goes to sleep, who has not eaten, who has not done this is secondary. The thing that's really deep inside the heart began to speak up. So when God says, what do you want me to do for you? It's all right. Of course, that was based on training. We've talked about that before. His father had taught him. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. He knew that, look, anything they are saying, look, it will be added unto you. It's all there. You're going to read Proverbs chapter 1 to Proverbs chapter 8. It's literally all over this. 1 to 8, my understanding that that's what he was taught. That was not the wisdom God gave him. That was the foundation for the wisdom he finally got. The one that he was taught as a young man is what he recorded the first few chapters of the book of Proverbs. And he told us, when I was young, my father used to say, this, he was taught to be a king. His father had made all kinds of mistakes with his brothers. So it came after the man had become humble, you know. There's a level of suffering you need to pass through. So that, you know, I've been saying before, there's a depth, some of you are still reaching to show that you are still proud. God said, I've counted the slaps. There are seven. You see, there are seven slaps we must collect. So when they slap you on the right cheek, quickly turn the left. It's called spiritual reset. You know, there's factory reset. This is, yeah, they have to reset. David had been reset. At that time Solomon was born. The iniquity in his heart had been purged. At that time Solomon was born. The man had gone through If you don't like suffering, don't love God too much. What did I just say? No, I'm not asking you to repeat it though. Fear catch me when I talk up. Because when you love God too much, the more you love the Lord, the more he is interested in removing every impurity, every imperfection out of your heart. And whether you like it or not, suffering, they do work. Suffering works. See, there's sweet preaching. No one has a Christ and Jesus suffered the cross for me. Amen. Praise God. I'm not going to suffer. That is sweet. I'm sorry. American preaching, which some people in my country try to copy. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Now I obey your word. It's facto. There's a kind of obedience that you require affliction to produce. As a Christian, just trust God with your whole life. What did I say? Yes. Because sometimes trouble will come. Thank him. Just make sure that, Father God, this trouble, can we do so it doesn't come again? How do you do it? What attracted it? Because see, Christianity has trouble come for two reasons. All right? Troubles, they come for two reasons in Christianity. One, you are not making progress. Two, you are making progress. If you are not making progress, they flog you into order. If you are making progress, they prune you into more progress. Both of them painful. See, the man of God panic. He shouted, Jesus. Brethren, that's how it works. You just have to trust God with your whole life. and let him know what is more important to you. Please, let me say it again. You know, somebody made a statement recently. I think I was listening to a preacher. I don't know which one of them. There are so many, I just stumble into once in a while. And he said this modern day preaching in Christianity. And it's sad. Modern day preaching is very, very earthly minded. Does not give room for eternity. God has to bless you now or he failed. You have to have results to show now or your principles are not right. Have you heard this before? Prove it with results. Results terminate insults. Brethren, I know what people are trying to say, but I will not quote that. Because beheading, does it terminate insult? I mean, you get my point? It terminates insults because you won't be there to hear the insults. But that's not what they mean. If the results they are talking about is money, houses, plenty children, let's go to ministry, which is what a lot of them talk about, big size, congregation, brethren, that is a satanic talk. That is satanic. That's one way. Let's get the meaning of the word satanic. Satan has just one agenda: to wreck your faith, to reduce your eternal value. And let me say it again: the aim of Satan is to reduce or obliterate your eternal value. His aim is to reduce or totally obliterate your eternal value. So some of the things we preach, really, I'm sorry to say, they are pretty satanic. They are. Because what we keep on trying to do is to improve the temporal value of Christians. If somebody ends up in prison, we don't celebrate the person. The time Leah Sharibu was taken, you remember, those Chibok girls, the gist we heard was, you know, they released a lot of them. They did not release her. And the gist we heard that time was because, and we saw videos of them, they were from their town, all right? If I have met somebody from there, okay, Chibok, they are predominantly Christians, at least. Nominal Christians, at least. So the girls were mostly Christians. So they said they have to convert to Islam. And if they convert to Islam, of course, a lot of them converted. You saw them chanting things and then they released them. That little girl stubbornly said no. She said no. These are the things that Donald Trump heard now and is threatening fire and brimstone. The girl said no. And a pastor actually said, the girl should have been wise. She should have just joined them. And then when they release her, she can go back to church. See, that should have been a cause for celebration. Not tell her she's foolish. I told the Lord that time, if we make my wife conceive born Pekin, give me Pekin, and it's a girl, her name is going to be Leah. I'm not going to be named after Leah of Jacob's wife. It will be named after the Leah of Nigeria. Just to say, a young girl stood and dead men with guns that, no, I will not deny my Jesus Christ. Deborah, that was killed in Sokoto. I mean, thank God my daughter's name is already Deborah. I mean, whoever is named Deborah should have been bearing that name with pride. That, look, oh, my namesake died for Christ Jesus. And they threatened that the girl said no. And they murdered her. There's another undertone to it, but let's not get into all of that. But the girl stood. And read your Bible, you know, we'll make it look, you know, Jesus promised it will happen. Jesus actually promised that such things will happen. And what we need to do is to literally glorify, no, you see, I'm going to talk about it in a moment, all right? When you're talking about we're talking about doers of the word. I'm going to talk about that in a moment. These glorifying things that are important. We should have had a praise worship session. Not shouting at the government for prosecution. No, you can't go do that. We're in a secular country. We should. But what should be more important to us is that we have people still who will die for Jesus Christ boldly. Most of our fat, rich people wouldn't do that. Threaten their company, they will capitulate quickly. That's what we should be said. That's my point. We should celebrate it. And tell our children, that's how to live. If you have to die for Christ, never back down. They have a saying that to the warrior, they say to the warriors in Western Nigeria, this is your head, is better than this is your face. Yeah, you go to war, we don't want to see your face. Let them give us your head at the end. But we don't want to hear that you surrendered and you bow to the enemy. So they have a saying, this is your head, is better than this is your face. That is to be preferred above this is your face. That's what we should be preaching. See, you think that's how I feel? That's not how I feel, though. I wouldn't, naturally speaking, I'm talking about natural me. But I will preach what Jesus said until I will feel like that. Why I said that is that when we don't preach it, the church doesn't feel like that. Do you understand? The first time they took, you know, when Jesus was being arrested, every man ran, you understand? Every man make a pig race. So. If you watch Passion of the Christ, was it John? The way they depicted that side there, when they reached for John like this, the person reaching for him grabbed his coat. He ran. This one came off. He kept running. The second one came off. But boy, you ain't getting me. You can't get my coat. They all scattered. But after they had been filled with the Spirit, first time Peter and John went out to preach. When Peter and John went out to preach, and they flogged them. You know what they did? They rejoiced. They're like, so it's true. So why can't we beat? It's true. And nobody said, check my bag. How many? Yeah, they're like six. Yeah, I can feel it's hurting me. Yeah, like Pepe. How many? Six. Wow. Count Johnson. You know, they were so happy that so is true. They were so glad. You know, but if it's us now, I paralyzed their hand. I paralyzed their hand. If I be a man of God, I will be celebrating. My papa cannot be flogged. You know, we celebrate it. See, it's possible for... Look, Jeroboam tried it now. Stretch his hand as a prophet. And the prophet didn't have to tell anything. The hand withered there. You know, you just have... Bam, the hand refused to move. The joint locked. King, bring out your hand now, boy. I'm trying. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. But Peter and Co. did not take pride in that. That was So, for the sake of Christ, we can actually be beaten. So when you are denied something for the sake of Christ, you should go home and kneel down and read, Father God, thank you. You know, all this while, you are providing food for me, everything. People say they suffer for Christ. Today, thank you for your privilege. Thank you for the opportunity. I just lost that job. Amen. Praise God. At least, you know, in your mind, you could ask for food. I won't ask for food. Let me to go hungry for 3 days. So when I want to preach later, I said there was a time we were hungry for Jesus Christ, you know. It becomes a matter of pride. But when we're not like that, when you have not been preached to along these lines, and I'll be saying a girl like Leah that we should be celebrating, she should have been wise. So what she did was not wisdom. See, I've told you, listen, it's very important. What you approve of, God is already judging you. See, those who celebrated Leah were blessed. Those who told her, said she was foolish, God said they denied me. You're not getting my point. You didn't have a gun to your neck. Yet God is saying, you denied me. Why? Because you saw somebody who stood for me and you said she was not wise. Please, let me take a small digression there. In life, you have to learn to connect. It's fact. with spiritual principles. I said it before. Job, see that trial of Job. Job took it for your sake. Job, the blessing of Job is hanging. That guy released a massive dose of blessing to the earth, which is available for everybody. And how do you tap your own? When you suffer your loss, quickly thank God. Please, let nobody tell you that if you are suffering, it's because of your offering. And if your life is tight, check your tithe. It's nonsense talk. You can tithe, give your offering, you will still suffer, and your life will be tight. You know why I said that? Why I criticized that utterance? It is because when people are suffering, having tithed and giving offerings and their life is tight, they start looking at God with corner eye. God, you the owner. God, you the owner. I said, Lord, can I ask you a question? I said, what is it? Who does the accounting in our church? Because it looks like you are not getting my remittances. It's like it's not getting to you. Say, Lord, please, don't mind the pastor and those accountants in church. There is a tithe booklet. Then your suffering will continue. Because you feel, entitled. But Job, go and read Job 29. Job did everything that you could call good works for his own time. If his offering, he offered, this kind of thing. He didn't see his children sin, but he offered the sacrifice just in case they sinned. Not even physical sin, He knew that sin could be in their heart. Peradventure, if you've caused God in their heart, we offer a sacrifice. If he sacrifices, Job offered. It was a good sacrifice, sir. He was a good sacrifice, sir. The guy was always offering sacrifices. Yet when trouble came to him, you know what he said? He said to his wife, "Will we receive good of the hand of the Lord and not receive the evil when he sends it?" He said, he never questioned the integrity of God. When the pain hooked him, he started cursing himself. They said, "Curse God and die." He said, "No, let me curse the day I was born. Let me curse the day I was born." He didn't have a sense of entitlement. What am I trying to say? When you have problems too, the blessings of Job, the approval of Job, you yourself reach for it. And what God does is that he just allows trouble your way. Quickly join your hands and thank the Lord. You know what God does? He gives the blessing of Job without you going to the experience of Job. Why? Because you put forth your hand to connect with Job early. That's why, I was saying that tapping into spirit, all right? If Elia gets kidnapped and retained because she refused to deny Christ, celebrate her. God will give you the same reward. If Deborah gets, killed for the cause of Christ, celebrate her. Mourn yourself. Don't mourn her. Don't mourn her. Because the Bible makes it clear that to die and be with the Lord is far better. Mourn yourself that, God, if it was me, what would I have done? Just in case, please, see my heart. Fill me with your spirit, the spirit of the martyr, so that if necessary, let me die for Jesus Christ. But for Deborah, Lord, I want to worship you. That's how to connect with that spirit. Not analyzing which kind of people are these. Which kind of country are we living in? Is it really a free country? Which country is not free? You're not focusing on the real matter. How many people have they arrested? That's your focus. If I was the president of CAN or PFN, I will make a statement. Those who were involved in the killing of that young girl, you will preach the gospel of Jesus. If you will resist, just to make us happy, all your children will preach Jesus while you watch. That's the punishment I want to give you. Why should you die? Why should you die? That will not go pay me rich now. The real pain that I want to inflict on you is that you will come for a crusade. And your first son, your first son, looking just like you. I will make sure he doesn't cut his beard too. He will just look like you. And he will testify of how Jesus met him on the road to Damascus. And you'll be looking like this. And all your ladies will be looking at you funny. That's the way I will pay you back. I won't let you die. No, I won't die. No, you're not going to die. I will beg God that from your family, just for to afflict your soul, not even for the love of you, just to afflict your soul, that your girls will marry preachers. Your brother, because you may refuse to go, will walk down a congregation of Christians to say, who gives this girl out? Who gives Aisha to out in marriage? And it's your daughter they are giving out to. And your brother says, you refuse to come. And one pastor will bless them the name of Jesus Christ. My vengeance is complete. My vengeance is complete. No, it's not complete. It's not complete. It remains small. When it finally completes, it's when you yourself say, Jesus, I didn't know you were really like this. I'm so sorry. I will not hug you as a brother. And I say, do you have any person who wants to kill somebody? We have one sister also preaching somewhere. Yeah, do you follow my point? Because if this is what we will produce, we're going to donate now. It will reduce our work. Do you understand my point? After all, if we have another Stephen to give us two more Pauls, we say, Stephen, don't worry, wear a helmet so that I don't go pay you too much. Or drink something. But you are going to get killed. And you know what? Literally, you will see brethren volunteering to be Stephen. Because, see, there's a way a spirit will possess you. This one that you don't want to die, you don't want to die. Let me explain something to you. Do you know people actually strap bombs on themselves and go to kill themselves? Because a spirit hooked them and told them that this is what is waiting for you. You that know the truth, because I believe we know the truth, because truth is Jesus Christ. So Jesus tells us something, it is true. So those of us that know Jesus Christ, trust me, dying may be a small problem. But we don't preach it. So brethren are afraid to die. They are afraid to lose money, self. What they are looking for is a better job. They'll not be lying to. You know, there's one lie. People will lie to God. Say, you know, if I get this money now, I'll have more money to give to the gospel. God said, look, it looks like I'm broke. I can't help myself. God said, sit down, let me watch you. Just watch me preach the gospel that money. I've heard it before. People say, you know, if I got all this money now, I say, you're already thinking of the money. You're not thinking of the gospel. Don't lie. I was talking to my wife this morning. I said that people believe in tithing. Not because they love God. Because it's easy to pay him off. I know what I'm telling. It's not love for God. It's easy to pay him off. So that if you have 100,000, you give him 10,000. This 90 now, you cannot settle on it the way you want. I told my wife, listen, that's what the Lord people are doing. If you really want to love the Lord, you can't give him 10% and settle. You can't. You are eager and say, okay, what next is going on? Do you follow my point? Not I've given 10%. No, just small aside, just small aside. People will be asking me then, can I give my tithe to somebody? I said, what does that mean? I said, that statement in itself is founded on a deep error. Imagine me coming to ask you a question now. Can I give my son's school fees to somebody in need? You know, you're going to say, which kind of question is that? No, think about it. I come and meet you now. Dad, please, Pastor, I have a question for you. Sir. My son's school fees, can I give to somebody in need? You know, you are going to look like, are you broke? I don't know whether I get my point. It's like, how much is best? You say, my son's school fees is 120,000 naira. There's this man in our compound. The son is very sick and they need to operate now. They need 100,000. The only money I have is the one I want to pay, use to pay my son's school fees tomorrow. So do you think I can give to somebody who is in need? You know, you're going to wonder, you're looking at, no, please be honest. What's going to be going through your mind? Basically, is this man okay? Do you follow my point?
Yes,
you're going to be wondering, is this man okay? Because what you'll be thinking is that, hey, you want to help them now. Hey, give them the 100K. Then go to this boys' school on Monday and beg them to give you one more week. You know, like, you negotiate it now. Okay, do you want this boy to die? Worst case scenario, your son will stay at home for 2 more weeks. But you know, it won't cross your mind that you won't pay the school. Do you follow my point? It won't cross your mind. You now go to the school, say, ah, good money, school accountant. This country we are living in, we thank God. Some people are going through a lot, though. So this term, please, can I be excused? Why? I gave somebody my son's school fees. He was in need, though. Ah, the boy was about to die. But we thank God his life has been saved. We didn't concern Agbero with overload. The accountant will thank you very much for your generosity. So because you are such a kind person, we will give your son 3 more weeks for you to pay. Will they cancel it? So people come and meet me questions. I'm sorry, I personally consider that question very, very off. It's very, very off. The foundation is faulty. Sorry to use the expression. The foundation is a spirit of irresponsibility. You just want to get it off. Because if that church, you were supporting them, and you saw somebody in need, you will help the person in need, then later on, what do? You still bring your support back. Say, Kai, I had promised that this is our men's program. I was going to give them 100,000. Somebody's now in need. You go back. In fact, one day, Pastor Corey was teaching, I don't know if we're in TCC, when he was teaching, that one pastor sent him envelope. You know, like, you know, Thanksgiving envelope, say to invitation and put something inside. He said he told himself that, see. So this will even recognize that we exist. Maybe it's a church of 2 or 3 people. So that they recognize that we exist. You know what he did? He took the only suit he had, sold it to another pastor, put money in the envelope. He said, no, I can't return the empty. I can't return there. He didn't have any money. He took the only suit he had. You understand? Proper, you know, preacher's wear suit. I went and sold it. He put the money in the envelope and sent to the church. So you can understand why I start feeling funny when somebody comes to tell me that, can I give my tithe to somebody? I say, why are you being silly? You know the reason why you're saying that? You don't want to give. You feel it's a burden. So some people do it too. They say that, no, I believe in tithing, so take their tithe and share it. I say, burden, stop these things. You know, send part of it to one pastor, send part of it to their church, send part of it. I said, see, leave this nonsense. Look at your church. This is how much I want to use to support them. Give it to them. If you have an orphanage you are supporting, give them their money. Stop doing this tithing thing that you want to split money around. The spirit of the tithe in the new covenant, don't ever forget, is a continuous, generous giver. Cheerful. It's a constant thing. When my wife and I first started doing this, when we first got married, we used to do small accounting, all right? When it came to giving. We had a book where we kept money. We shared money in a funny way. No point in giving details now. So any money that comes this way must be for giving. Okay, to help some people. It was half of all we earned. That was the agreement from the beginning. It's half. If we get 100,000 naira, 50,000 is to be given. Half of the half is church ministry giving. The other half is generous. I need money and then please help me with this. We split. So the idea is that, oh boy, you can't be so selfish that you get money and only you will chop half. More than half. I say no. So we agreed. So when money comes, we will do account. Half of the money goes here. Half we can spend. Now, you know why I'm telling the story? After a while, I closed the account. There was no point. Because the giving account was constantly owing the spending account. He said, okay, we're supposed to do this. So, Kai, okay, let's borrow money from the chopping account. So after a while, so the year will end. I said, okay, the debt is too much. We can't pay. So let's zero the debt. We start again the following year. After a while, I said, so I think we're fooling ourselves. So she said that she agreed. We canceled the whole thing. We just canceled it. Say, Abel, leave this thing. It's not working. Now, and it's not working because the giving account was borrowing constantly. It took more than his portion. Yeah, it, and the reason wasn't what we were trying to be generous. No, you just couldn't close your eyes to things. You just couldn't close your eyes to things. And of course, at that time, when Kingdom One started, we're the only ones funding it. Printing tracks, doing this, doing that. So after I said, sweetheart, I think we are fooling ourselves. She said, I think so too. We closed the account. I said, let's just do as occasion serves us. I had again to do that. Man of God. It was supposed to be a small, I said it's more digression, but let me go back to where we began from. Okay, so let's go back to the beginning. The beginning is, I remember, there are two types of Christians. There are hearers only, and then there are what? Doers of the word. Now, I said you need to add the word only to hearers for you to know that doers also hear first, then you see the doing. But what I'm trying to emphasize today is the fact that doer is not the person who does the word. A doer does the word. It's not defined. Let me say it in a simpler way. Whether you have done the word or not, you're either a doer or you are not. But if you are a doer, you will do. Do you follow my point?
Yes, yeah.
Whether you have done the word or not, you're either a doer or you are not a doer. A doer of the word is something that you are. Okay? Now, if you are a doer, when the word comes, when you hear the word, it will manifest in your doing. Do you get what I'm saying? Yeah. But we're not defining doer of the word primarily by the doing. He's a kind of person. Okay, let me give an example now. Are you a human because you walk on 2 feet and your head, you stand erect and you have 2 eyes in front of your eyes and a nose and you speak? Is that what makes you a human being? No, think about it. Is that what makes you a human being? If I ask you now, what makes you a human being? I'm wondering, I'm just a human being now, okay? Which kind of question did they ask person? So, what is that I've defined or I've described will define you. But you know that's not what makes you a human being. Because it is possible to lose both eyes. You are still human. There are humans that can't get up. They are bedridden. Do you get my point? You've seen humans that literally walk on falls because of disabilities and stuff like that. Do you get what I'm saying? But it doesn't cross your mind to say this person is not human. It doesn't cross your mind. The fellow, and they are human beings that can't speak, you know. All they do is make sounds. You say the person is, but you have to now describe the person in the context of the disability now. That is okay. He's human, but he can't talk. He's human, but he can't. Do you follow what I'm saying? Uh-huh. But first of all, he's human. Now, come back to what I say. A doer of the word is first a doer. Then, when the word comes, he will do. My emphasis is that it's an attitude. And that attitude is what I'm preaching this morning. That as a Christian, you must have. And the attitude is beyond, please listen to me, it's beyond just acting on one word. Because we have established, you're not the one that acts on the word. Who acts on who? So who is a doer of the word? That's the point. And that's what I want to emphasize. That's what I'm preaching to you this morning. All right? Who is a doer of the word? Let's talk about that. Please, some people have not yet got to me. Let me explain it again. As I'm preaching here now, you've not acted on anything that I'm saying. But right now, you're either a doer or you're a hearer only. Let me give an example of a hearer only. Maybe that will help me explain it. Years ago, I encountered a group of people. They told me about a group of people that they are called heresy hunters. Yeah. If you're into ministry, to teaching the word, you will know them. If I'm one of our brothers, very odd human being, that's all I can describe him. He used to come to Kingdom Word, not saying in a very long time. One day, he heard me preach. He came to me and said, You should listen to, now came the name of one guy, one Steve something something. I know the name, I just want to announce it. He said, you should listen to him, you should listen to him. You should read his material. Of course, the kind of person I am, what do? I went and looked for it. It was online. I searched him. I read the guy. Next time I saw our brother. I said, I got the material of the guy you introduced me to. I said, please, number one, I warn you in the name of the Lord, don't read him. Number two, don't link. Me and him have nothing in common. I was very angry. That how you listen to me and compare me with this fellow? It's like because my doctor, you know my doctor on tithing, because he agrees with Daddy Frozen, and you're not saying that you not cross the two of us? It's an insult. I personally consider it an insult. Their criminals are very generous. You know that?
Yes, sir.
So you not tell a man, you just remind me of Al Capone. For those who know, Al Capone is a celebrated American mobster. Mafia man. Let me tell you what they call mafia man. Do you understand? People who kill people who disagree with them. People who kill people who steal their money. People who break every law and bribe every judge. That's what they do. And they have so much money. A lot of it. So being generous with $1 million is not a big deal to them. It's part of their image polishing. You now see a nice, responsible man who gave out money. Say, you remind me of Al Capone. How should he feel? Of course, he should feel it. So I told that brother, I said, please. I begged him. Number one, don't read this guy again if you love yourself. Number two, don't compare me with him. Me and him are not in the same category at all. You know, the time our guy, the frozen man, I didn't even know about him. But, you know, that time when he was saying that anybody paying any tithe to any pastor in Nigeria is a goat. This girl was interviewing him. This one that has a blog, this celebrated blogger. She interviewed him, said, anybody paying any tithe to any Nigerian pastor is a goat. Said, they are not thinking. He now went through scripture, tried to explain. Now, a lot of things he said, all right? They are letter correct. On the surface, letters, they are correct. So, somebody, one of our sisters, forwarded it to me that, Pastor Banky, have you seen this? That was my first time of hearing about it. I didn't know it was already making waves. So, of course, it caused a lot of problems at that time. In fact, one guy on Twitter said, look, all this noise is because everybody should just listen to Pastor Banky. They won't have this problem. So, he's only like, what is it that he's saying? I believe this thing. So, it was sent to me that, have you seen this? I listened to it. I said, this guy has a very wrong spirit. That's the only statement I made. I said, his spirit is wrong. I wasn't willing to discuss the letters what he was saying. Quoting some scripture, I said his spirit is wrong. Now, I can tell you, this is a man who is angry, who is bitter. When I told my wife this morning the name he called one of our big men of God, my wife shouted, yay! Like, how could that have come out of your mouth? I said, look at what he said. My wife said, yay! Why? Just because you disagree, you know how much I disagree with some of these things. But I wouldn't use such expressions you're seniors? That was the only reply. I said, this man's spirit is wrong. This guy and I have nothing in common. The fact that on the surface it may look like we said the same thing, you didn't hear me call anybody a goat. I just disagree with the doctrine. I just disagree with the practice. I'm talking about heresy hunters. So it turned out that this brother, the fellow he said I should listen to, is a heresy hunter. I'll tell you about heresy hunters. Let me tell you what they call heresy hunters. They come into this meeting. They are sitting down, analyzing everything I'm saying. They didn't come to learn. At the end of the day, they will ask to see you. Pastor, good morning, sir. Yeah, I will listen to you this morning. There was a particular scripture you quoted. I think you took it out of context. Now, in case you are like that, and you have ever written me, I don't listen to people like you. No, I don't. I don't. Not because I'm proud and I can be proud. I'm not saying I'm not proud. Of course, I'm proud. Of course, I can be proud. Nobody who's proud thinks he's proud, all right? So, but that's not. But the reason I don't listen to people like you is that I don't have your time. You're not my target. You're not my audience. My audience hears me differently. They hear me differently. The people I'm really talking to. You see, that's why when you're reading the scripture, you can see two scriptures that seem to contradict each other. And heresy hunters or people of the world, when they want to show the Bible is wrong, they take them and say it's contradictory. But they don't realize that if you were a disciple, you would have easily gotten the spirit of each one of them and realized that even though the letters may seem to differ, in reality, they're in agreement. The spirit is in agreement. But you see, there's no point explaining that to somebody who defaultly wants to disagree. I'm talking about heresy hunters. They are looking for fault, always looking for fault. Always looking for, and see, if you're a young man, let me just tell you this. It's very easy to slip into hearer only, not a doer of the word. Very easy. What's a hearer only? You've learned a few things. You've read two Canadian books and one Kenyan book. It happened to us in school. I know what I'm telling you. You now go to where your elders, who have served God for 40 years, when they are speaking, say, I'm looking forward to heaven. Say, no. Right here on earth will manifest God. There's a power of the age to come. Be talking. Your elders are talking. You know? People who have gone through, like my pastor said, this in Lagos. He said, one day, some people, he said, when they were young, they would say, nobody can slap me. He said, one elder said, they can slap you. Like, there's no power you have that they can slap you. You can't be slapped. Well, you know, we had this authority of the believer. I'm a child of the king. Nobody can talk to me like that. And the elders are looking like, why not? You will suffer for Christ. They will flog you like that. They will slap you like that. They will imprison you like that. Say, no, in the name of Jesus, I will speak. No, that was in a group where they were planning to walk through the walls. You know the name of their group? The Colony of the Ancient Immortals. That with their mortal body, they were passing through walls. I don't know who they saw in the Bible that had a mortal body that passed through any wall. When the angel came to release Peter, he opened the gate. That man wanted to pass through the gate. Terminator. No, we feel so powerful. Young people, you slip into hearers only mood. I look back at campus now. God delivered me early because I didn't join the big men's group throughout my stay on campus, even though I headed the fellowship. But I was never those powerful brethren that there. When they come in, you feel the aura enter with them. No, I had no aura. None. I graduated auraless. So that saved me. That delivered me. It saved me from a lot of trouble. So then I couldn't get, because but one of some of our brethren used to do something. We come for a meeting. I still remember very well. They called for a meeting of all believers on campus, head in the main auditorium. One man, he came from out of town. He was teaching us to pray. Then we're praying for Nigeria. And he was saying some things. I looked at one of my senior bros. He sat down defiantly. He said we should rise up. He sat. He refused to get up. And I could hear his thoughts. I knew him. You know, I knew him. I knew his group. But like, no, that's sense knowledge. That's not revelation knowledge. You know, in Christ, this is the way we are. I look back now. He was totally wrong. That guy was totally right. If you're a young person, I went for a meeting here one day. Stadium. Some young men came for the meeting from campuses. They sat near me. So one guy was talking. Guy was preaching. One young girl beside me was like, what? Mission? No. Because I didn't say it loud. I turned to him, I looked. And that man, you know, none of these people that have deep, you know, this prophetic, deep, you know, revelations. Yeah, they got, none of those people. Of course, it's not everything this. It's not everything everybody says that you agree with letters. No, God has given me wisdom.
One day I sat in New Haven. One young man came in and said, Pastor Banky? I said, yes. I listen to you on radio. I said, that's nice. He said, but I find myself disagreeing with you sometimes. I didn't even interrupt what I was doing. I said, that's normal now. Can you agree with me all the time? I continue what I was doing. I said, there's nobody you're going to agree with all the time. We're looking for who to be arguing with. That's what they call hearer only. You met somebody who's preaching, you claim you have been listening to. The first conversation you want to have with me is where you disagree. Your head is obviously not correct. Obviously, you're not listening to me to guide your life. You're not listening to me to discover the word of God. It was our first time of meeting. You've been hearing me on radio. So anytime you tune in, there's one guy who listens to Pastor Okemito all the time. That guy's head is totally off balance. He does not miss word versus word. But it's obvious he's not a normal human being. One day I was the one on word versus word that day. I was speaking. Of course, you know the way the word versus word runs? It was that time when there used to be 90 minutes. The last 30 minutes is calling. People ask questions, you know. Sometimes they offer their opinion. He called and said, the problem with religion is fear. Get rid of fear and you won't have any need for religion. I told him, thank you. Next caller. What do you want me to say again with somebody who calls in? Oh, you know, some people are demon tormented. Yeah, it's obvious. I told him, I said, okay, thank you very much. I can't remember the words I used, but something like, I wasn't really talking to people like you. Next person. I didn't offer any argument. So I see preachers who respond. Me, I don't respond. My own attitude is that I wasn't talking to you. I don't know whether you get my point. It's not you I'm talking to. It's not you. There are very few people I owe explanation. Once in a while, it's happened over the years that we responded to a few people. I don't know what even led me that time. One guy wrote one long email to us that I said T.B. Josh was a false prophet. How can I call somebody false? I said, don't read your Bible. I didn't know false prophets in your Bible. As whether this guy is false or not, it's my opinion. If you don't like it, go away. That's the explanation. I didn't try to prove anything. I said, I have the right to my opinion. There are people I instruct. So this is what I think. If you think he's genuine, follow him. One guy wrote a mail one day. You know, some people, may God deliver them. You know what he wrote? That I used to say TB Job was a false prophet. That he's sure I've changed my mind now. But unfortunately, what I've said that is out there online. He said it's so unfortunate. I just deleted the mail. A man sat down. Like I said, it doesn't concern. I already understand my problem in this life. Being somebody who speaks out there, I've been talking and broadcasting now for almost 20 years. So I'm sure all kinds of human beings listen to me, including those who hate me. So I'm so used to it. One guy said, I'm editing the scriptures. I won't answer you. Even if you are right, I will not answer you. If you are wrong, I won't answer you. The people I'm talking to, they forgive my errors. No, they easily forgive me. See, one of the men that blessed me the most in this life is Kennedy Hagin. I can give you at least 4 or 5 things he says I don't agree with. You don't hear me preach against him. If you have read him enough, okay, and you have listened to me enough, you will know some of those things. Canadian says, Pastor Banky says this one. But if I see that man in heaven today, I will prostrate. Say, sir, God used you to set me on the right path. There's no singular individual that have kept me in check, especially in ministry, like him. None. Funny enough, by things that he did not say. For example, he doesn't believe that God punishes people. But from him, I know God punishes people. From his stories. He's just taking with a particular way he teaches doctrine. And I've heard him teach things behind the scene. These are things taught to men who are, men he's training. Some core
Do you get my point? So there are things you hear him say, all right, that you may hear me say the opposite, yet you would never run the man down. The spirit, he's saying some things. I tell my wife, leave the letters, but this is the spirit of what he's saying. I will listen to the message. Ha! I'd listen to that man until I can. It sounds like arrogant if I say that. I've almost heard everything he has to say, almost anything. Almost, I can. Let me just say almost. I've never been to the Bible school. Before they opened Nigeria, I'd read, and do you know, you get my point? I wake up in the morning listening to him. I go to sleep listening to him. I'm reading his book. I read the book again. Does it mean I agree with everything, letter wise? No! But the spirit. But some people walking. I told the one man, those are not even Christians. Why am I talking about some of these people? He came and finished preaching. Say, he finds a disconnect. Meanwhile, you know, now chase one of my girls come. One of the Kingdom Word girls. I'm telling you, one of the daughters of the Lord in Kingdom Word. I did not even know. But I did not know at that time. If I knew, I would have answered him differently. The young lady just came to me and said, please, there's a man who followed me for Bible study from work. I said, so I just assumed that she invited someone to come and hear the word. Not noticing I pursue. The guy pursue. They follow woman. Some men, he go. Once they see woman, their brains go to their bumps. You know, get my point? One brain here, one brain on the other side. They're now using their spinal cord to think. Some of those men. It pained me, I didn't know that, and the Holy Spirit kept it from me. If I had known, what would I have told him? I would have said, oh God, that's not the problem. Adultery is the main thing that destroys families. That's what I would have told him. But I did not know. He said that when he heard me preach, he saw a kind of disconnect. That was the first time I heard the word disconnect, apart from electricity. I've been hearing it, but it didn't strike me. The normal disconnect I know is Blaze. Yeah, it's Blaze. When Blaze tell me, Pastor, you have to disconnect us, we have to disconnect you from means. So he said, disconnect. I said, look, wait till we disconnect. He said that I was talking about God wanting people to prosper. Now, let me tell you, this guy was pursuing a young woman in her early 20s. I was telling him that his son had graduated school and was not working. So that girl will be about the same age as his son. That my daughter in the Lord that he followed, he got, will have been about the same age as his son. That's the man who's disconnected. Agbaya. Aya, you they speak this language. Agbaya. Now God save on that day. Say, I don't know. I showed him the respect which I thought my sister's boss deserved. I thought she invited a good man to come and hear the word. Say, so this kind of disconnect about prosperity. I was saying that God wants us to prosper and all of that. And you see that he now talked about his son. Apparently, he has a son who believes prosperity. And the boy is lazy, he's unfaithful. And he's blaming it on the gospel that the boy believes. When he finished, the word the Lord just helped me with. I said, your first time here. I said, it's your first time here, right? He said, yes. I said, so you don't know me. I said, all the people that I preach to, they know me. I didn't argue my doctrine. I said, I'm a consultant pathologist. I teach in 3 universities. They know I'm not lazy. I ran the ministry full time. That time, how many of us were in this country? Well, those times, there were very few. I was teaching, ESO just at that time. I was teaching there part-time. I was teaching at Newe, driving here 2 hours to Newe to go and teach students. I told the man, I said, that's what you're telling me. I told him, all the people that you see listening to me here, they know me. My wife came in there to get something that time and left. I said, you saw that woman that went out? I said, she's an accountant by training. She used to work in a bank. When my son was born, she resigned. I said, she trades. I said, they all know. If God does not want us to prosper, why am I working? Why is she working? Now I'm getting angry in arrears now. Do you get my point? It's what the Bible calls a hearer. hear what I said. Now, it's not about did he practice it? No. It's the attitude with which he sat. A judgmental attitude. An analytical attitude. Let me prove to this young pastor. When he saw, when I told him that thing, no, I'm not exaggerating this. I saw his countenance change. He wanted to talk down at me. When I answered him back, he said, oh, actually, he's a lawyer. I shook my hand. He, my friend, kick you out, my friend. You won't commit adultery again. You tell me, say his son, how will your son work when you are chasing small girls? He's a spirit. If you stop chasing small girls, when you pray, the boy will wake up in the morning and go and wash the car. He won't know why. The boy is a graduate. He'll be in the car wash, washing cars. He said, what are you doing there? He said, daddy, I'm training myself in being dutiful. I'm being responsible. Why? Daddy has stopped chasing small girls. The boy won't even know. But when you are chasing small girls, your sons wake up in the morning, they'll just feel like smoking a bowl. They won't know. They never smelled a bowl in their life. Oh. Just that thing they call the bowl, where can I find it? I heard that the one from Ondo State is very good. Somebody send that one to me. You know, my former governor wanted to start exporting a bowl from Ondo State, yes. But they grow so much of it that the guy said, why fight? Just collect it and export. The Bible says, give wine to the man who wants to be destroyed. Sell the bowl to those who want to die. Your son will just wake up in the morning. Just suddenly, you know. See, you are living maybe in Otibo. The Igbo they are smoking, Obiago, you will smell it there. And one keke will just stop. Obiago, the boy will enter. It's a spirit. You just be smelling it. It's something. It is the adultery of the father. It's not that is what you're saying. It's not the boy. The boy will get there, go see everybody doing their business. Ah. I can smell. Someone will just call it. You want something? Say yes. That way, now they rap. So you rap it for him. That's your son is on Igbo. Why? Because you are chasing small girls and going to ask the pastor that you are disconnecting. Evil spirit. You know, I told you earlier, be careful the kind of spirit you connect with. One lady. I'm talking about hearers. She says she's a devout Catholic. So let's assume she knows the Lord's more. And decided that she wanted to investigate preachers who claim they are healing people with prayer. She will go for their meeting, videoing who they pray for, following them. Then one day she woke up, young lady, maybe in her 30s or so, at most 40s. But I think 30s. She woke up, she has stomach pain. You understand? And she went to the hospital. Let's make a long story short. She had cancer of the gallbladder. She said, they will now say it is because she was following healing preachers. I said, no, you don't need to say it. They don't need to say it. You have said it yourself. Who said it? She's the one. And the person who posted it was trying to tell me about the will of God. That you see, she resigned herself to the will of God. Good enough. It was a chat group. They're all Catholics. I think I'm the only non-Catholic there. And I said, this is the will of God. I said, which one is the will of God? The guy who, the administrator of the chat group, actually a colleague of mine, he said, well, that I was making sense. I said, how does she know it's the will of God? The person who posted it was not trying to explain. I said, oh boy, wait. We know the days of our Lord, don't we? Yes. I said, who walked up to him that he did not heal? I said, who? I said, but remember, they had to walk up to him, most of them. There were very few who he walked up to by himself. The one at the pool of Siloam. Almost all of them came to him and said, have mercy upon me. I said, where in this her story has she said to us, she told the Lord, have mercy upon me. I said, you're talking about the will of God. I said, the will of God, is it done automatically? I said, if it was done automatically, why did the Lord make it a prayer point? Everybody was quiet. I said to them, I said, please, let's not blame the will of God here. I'm not here to say whether somebody afflicted her because of what she was doing. But at least, if that was the issue, let me tell you the truth. If that was the issue, what is killing this girl is stubbornness. What is killing this girl is refusal to admit her wrong. Why does she not go and kneel down somewhere and say, please, Father, have mercy on me. Let me tell you what the Lord will have done, likely. He will say, go back to one of those preachers. Tell him to lay hands on you. The Lord would have said, go back. Different ways. He's not hearing to used to hearing the voice of God, maybe. But the Lord could have said to him in an audible voice, or somebody will just come, say, let me, somebody will pray for you. Would take her to one of those preachers she used to criticize. And if you open her heart, that one will touch her. The doctors will go back and check. The thing is no longer there. But that is, see, let me tell you, that is the problem God has with people. Willingness to do that. Kenegi, I was talking about earlier, he said, as a young preacher, he just married, no, listen, he got married around the age of 21, 22. All right? Yeah, he was very young. He was not up to 23 when he got married. If I'm mistaken, I'll give him maximum 23. But I think it was like 21 or 22. Okay? Now, he said one day, he was praying with his parents-in-law. So he had the urge to pray in other tongues. He tried to suppress it. Let's make a long story short. Finally, just say, Abe, three questions to the wind. So I pray in other tongues loud. Holy Spirit now told him, his mother-in-law had a huge goiter. Told him, touch the goiter. Pray for your mother-in-law, I will heal her. He laid hands on her. He said the goiter went down like a balloon, 90%. Do you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
Was a huge one. It went, he said, it just went down like a balloon. Shh. 90%. Then he said, tell your mother-in-law to go to that particular church where they're having a meeting. And I will complete her healing. Did you hear what I said?
Yes,
that I will complete the healing. I want to make a long story short. Why did the Lord say that? Because that woman had uttered a statement before. I think they are Baptists or Methodists, you know, conservative people. And the other people are Pentecostal people. And she said, she had uttered the statement, you won't find me dead in that church. And God said, I will drag you there alive. You don't have to die first. Amongst the Pentecostals, she had to go. And they prayed for her, and the 10% remaining disappeared. And that's how the woman was totally healed the rest of her life. So God knows what he... That kind of person went to go and pray. God will have to her. Go and meet one of those pastors. Let them pray for you. Because if that really is what started it, let me tell you something about the Lord. He's very merciful. He just wants somebody that will come in their pain and say, Lord, have mercy on me. And please do it before it's too late. Anybody can have trouble. God inflicts trouble, but he never does it willingly, the Bible tells us. He never afflicts the people of the sons of men willingly. You go to him and say, Lord, have mercy on me. Pride is one major reason people don't make it in life. Yeah, pride. See, in your life, pray that God will help you cure pride. Pride destroys people. The painful thing is that proud people don't know they are proud. Let me let you know how you know you are pride. You can't talk to me like that. That's it. I don't care how big you are. That's pride speaking. You go to the church, you can't sit down just in any chair they give you. They invite you a preacher. No. For a man, this is my caliber. I can't see this kind of hotel. There's no problem. If you don't like it, pay for one and don't complain. I've gone to preach before. They put me in hotels. Yeah, I did. If I want one of our brothers probably will listen to this. Invited me to come and preach. They had a camp. He said, Pastor Banky, we stay in the camp, but we'll arrange a hotel for you and all of that. Torrey, was it me or you that went? Yes. He said, we'll arrange a hotel. I asked him, I said, sir, where do you stay? He said, no, I stay in the camp. I said, wherever you are staying, give me another bed there. First, we will pass you. Probably has been a Christian for longer than you. He's the one organizing the program. I said, okay. Wherever you are staying, I shall stay. I don't want to stay in a hotel where the Lord will come at night and say, Banky, what are you doing here? You are sleeping in a decent hotel. The Lord will knock on the door. Banky, what are you doing here? You will understand the question. You will understand it. That one, see. For the first time in my adult life, I host NYC, that I slept on that mosquito net. Do you remember? I said, what do you have to do? The man who invited us, look at where he's staying now. I saw God. They get room. I said, I will stay. He tried. I said, no, sir. This is where all of us will stay. I slept on a bunk for the first time in many, many years. Called mosquito. Every person has mosquito net. I tucked my mosquito net in. Fan was blowing. I stayed there. I know you can. Me and you can stay there too. Okay, I'm staying there. What will he now do? Where he won't go? But I've been to that same city. We locked ourselves. We had a program. One guy came. He drove from Port Harcourt to attend the program. He saw where we're staying by himself. He walked to a 5-star hotel in that city, booked a room, and said, "Pastor, please move. This one was moving us from Nawepeo." He said, "Yeah." He came, "Sir, this is where you are staying." I said, "Yes." He said, "No." He told the guys, lie. He carried all of us, not the lame, me and the whole team, took us to the best hotel in town. He paid. He just came and told the guys, they came and told me, "Sir, okay." He said, "We should move." "Why?" He said, "This place is not good." We thought it was good. So I told the guys, "Okay, pack. Pack." He carried us to the place. He said, "Don't worry, I've paid for the room." God was tackling the new place. You know, man. Where I'm going is that, so it's not as if I forbid good things. But under some circumstances, the other circumstances, no, I said no. Be very careful with pride. One of my guys, they arrived in Enugu. They came to pick him from the airport. So this is the car your pastor sent to pick me. So if you can't find a better car, I'm going back to Lagos. And the car they used to pick him was brand new. Not an old car. But it was a small saloon car. And they said no. That the Jeep he drives, they know the price. I can't come in. Pastor will be treating him like this. And they call pastor. Say, "Pastor, our guest minister is threatening to board the next flight." Look, maybe he was joking. But it's not a good joke. Because it didn't move. They had to send an SUV, a big SUV, before you agreed to leave the place. Be very careful in this life. Once you start feeling bigger than something that God provided for you, you are treading dangerous grounds. As every day wake up, be giving thanks. You must have a very thankful attitude. I know I started talking about pride. You know, we divert once in a while to talk about some things. That young woman could easily have been healed. I don't know the details. If that was her problem. But God will humble her. Let me use the word. Let me not use the word humiliate. God will humble you first. You will go to those same preachers. You will kneel down there. They will video you. Now, in case you don't know, that is why people don't get something from God. Because God will say, "Hey, no, go. Those preachers are criticizing. Go and pray. Go there." The instruction will be clear. They will call for those who need prayer. You will go forward. They will zoom in on you. People in your office will watch. Now, you don't understand. Many of us don't realize. Pride is so powerful. Most human beings would rather die than pass through that. Pride. They would rather die. I told the story of Kenneth Hagin. Bless me so much. He told a story of a pastor. The Lord told him, "Go." He heard the voice of God clearly. "Go and preach in that church." So the Lord said, "I don't like that kind of church." God said, "Go. That is the only chance the pastor has for living. Otherwise, he's going to die." After the Lord told him, the man walked up to him and said, "Brother Hagin, please, we'd like you to come." Make a long story short, he made space, went to the man's church. He said, all the meetings he had, the man did not come. Guest minister is in your church for like a whole week or two. I can't remember the exact number of days. He didn't show up one time. So his wife, the host pastor, approached Kenneth Hagin, said, "Please, sir, talk to my husband." He talked to the man didn't agree.
So finally, one day, he cornered the man. He said, look, at least show up for no few of the meetings now. The guy said, no. So Kenegi now said to him, he said, he didn't know when he just shouted, do you realize you are going to die? Now listen to this. The man told him that, look, see, why I'm not coming is because if I come there, you are preaching, I sit down there. I'll be telling my people that you are right and I'm wrong on some issues. He said, I invited you because I know you can help them. But I'm not going to sit down there while you preach and agree that I'm wrong. That was when he blotted. It was after the blotted. I said, do you realize you are going to die? The guy said, yes, I'd rather die than admit I'm wrong. He finished the meeting. He was an itinerant minister. He went to another church. As he got there, as he welcomed, he told the pastor he was just arriving. He said, mark this down. Next Sunday, the pastor from whose church I'm coming will die on the pulpit. He said, that new pastor looked at him like, what? What kind of human being have I brought to come and preach in my church? But the following Sunday, they got the news. The man got up to take an answer. He just stood on the pulpit like he collapsed there and died. God had warned him. But I'm telling you this story to let you know human beings are that bad. Pride. I'm saying this to check your life. Ask yourself, Father God, please, anywhere there's pride in me, please. Please, that is me. I can't do this one. And it's a matter of I'm bigger than you. Go and do it quickly. Go and do it to save your life. Say, I can't be found shopping in the waiting. Why? Because what? Better wear slippers. Take a go there. Walk around the market. Buy onion. Buy okpa. Carry your nylon bag by yourself. Say, God, just to save my life. That's all. Let me not start telling story. How proud. You see, people are in debt because of pride. Business is bad. They don't have money. Nobody must know. See, let me tell you something. I've seen some people do something. That's why, if ever I'm not feeling well, do you understand? And for that reason, of course, it doesn't happen often, but for that reason, I don't come for Bible study. I tell the people to tell. Then a pastor is tired, he's feeling unwell, so he cannot come and preach. Before people that are forced to think they don't have faith. Because you think, let me tell you, just you, the other day, I had this issue. Let me not give you details now, okay? Because our guy will be wondering why I didn't call him. So I called my wife, please, I'm not feeling well in this area. So we joined our house and prayed. We prayed. So she was going. I said, she was now leaving. I said, let me rest a bit. I need to meditate and all of that. So I fell asleep while doing that. Then my daughter knocked the door. As I woke up, I heard in my spirit, go and get antibiotics. For the first time in my life, I took a full course of antibiotics without anybody prompting me. I got to work. I said, find me water. They take medicine. They say, what happened? I felt like the Lord wrote me a prescription. I'm not joking. I took it as if the Lord wrote it by himself. I couldn't default. If it's normal, guys, I take the one that I want and one I don't want. I get away. But see, this one, the Lord wrote it too. But you know, I've told you many times, there have been times here. The Lord said, stay there. One panadol I'm not allowed to take. I will pray and declare the word. The one I'm referring when I was in Lagos, it took a month to get well. I tried to take anti-malaria. Let me say boldly. The Spirit of God said no. I had bought it. I packed it in the dustbin and laid down. So, see, versus the first thing, nobody must know. Because you are what? Because you are what now? That's why I tell you, if I'm not feeling well, that's why I didn't come. I said, tell them I'm not feeling okay. I need to rest. Let me tell you, if God does not save me, if moto jam me, I go die. Don't think that because I'm preaching, then go to hit you against the wall, nothing will happen. It's divine help that will stop you from. Do you get my point? And this is not available to me, more than it's available to an average Christian. There's no unction here that saves life. Saves lives. None. Many people have become pastors. Ask my wife. I look the person and say, this one will be injured though. Ask her. I said, my wife said, what? Those days are telling this. But why you say I used to talk funny? Strange.
I said, this man is not called. Wife said, how do you take no? I said, just look at him. Does he look called? I don't. This man, I'd never met him. I'm just watching him on TV. I said, why is he doing this to himself? 2 years later, he died. I told my wife, Shebi, I told you that this man is... I told her, this man will enjoy himself. Oh. I said, is that not what I was saying? Don't come and hide behind the pulpit. People, they die here. Oh. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. People die here. There's nothing. Don't say, some people say they entered the plane. They saw a man of God. They knew that they are safe. No, he's the one God wants to kill on that flight. You don't understand. He's your Jonah. He's the one. Their flight is going down because when he's flying to God, he won't get there. Let me be honest with you. When you see a man of God on a plane, come down. What I'm telling you. Some of these boys are Jonah's going to Tarshish. Some of these boys are Jonah's going to Tarshish. God will say, he won't get there. You go and sit beside him and say, man of God, God is looking at this one. This one don't miss road. You don't know where it's going. When the plane starts misbehaving, you grab his leg. God said, leave that leg. That is the only guy that I'm ejecting from the plane. I know what I'm telling you. Don't feel, see, if you want to end up busy, man of God, don't leave that. Pray your own prayer. No matter how big a geo you are, your middle name may be Jonah. So pray your own prayer. Father God, as I'm traveling, be with me. My eyes are on you, O Lord. Look, if you say, I hope this man didn't sin against you, because if he's a normal sinner, God cannot die. God will die. But when it's Jonah, that boat will suffer. So what am I saying? Don't come and hide behind the pulpit. James warned us that if they say, who wants to volunteer? Say, I'm not doing. So because the judgment is double. There's nothing to be proud of. Do you get where I'm going?
Yes.
Pride. People like to do show. The other day, my wife was telling me about some people, you know. Say, man and husband, man and wife, they call it for hours, they be holding and smiling. My wife knows, if I'm angry with you, I'm not talking to you outside. I can't help you. I can't pretend. Say, Pastor, good morning. I remove. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to serve the Lord. I don't know how to pretend. Do you know, I didn't even know. I had that. One day, one brother said, I like you. I said, why? He said, you are very real. Who being unreal? Look. No. If you see me play with my wife, hug with my wife, give her a kiss in public, it's real. I ain't doing it for you. You know what the lie said? He said, if I do it for you, my maker will soon take me away. Be honest with you, I fear God more than I fear people. God will bless Ken Hagin for it. He taught me, I went through his teachings to ministers. And basically, what I learned is, oh boy, fear God. If you're not fair, I'm going to enjoy you. If I'm preaching, I make sure it is what he likes that I say. Because when I see pastors who twist to make money, I say, you guys are bold, man. Who's protecting you? Who's keeping you? When you are sick, where do you go? When you have trouble, who do you talk to? No, that's my own attitude. Because I'm like, who will now help me now when I have trouble? And I take the word of God, come twist it because I want to raise money. I told you, know the way I raise money. I tell you, brethren, I want to raise money. This is why we need money. And I believe you have. One day when I was local president, our account wasn't balanced that year. I think the Lord wanted us to. I got up, I told the brethren, please, some of you are not giving the way you are blessed. See the kind of motor waiting at the drive come. See, our account is not reflecting it. That's the kind of thing I will tell you. God has blessed you. You are still giving. I told you one day, it was that particular season. I went to one of our brothers. So somebody called me and said, this brother sent you some money, this amount of money. And for that time, it was big. Okay, just like today now. I know somebody sent me 500K now. You know, right? It's something like 500,000 of today. Between 400, 500. I said, this guy sent 500,000. So that the account is balancing. I got angry. I said, 500K. Now, it wasn't 500, it was lower than that, but some years ago, it's quite a long time ago. That's why I said 500. So you can just imagine. I said, he sent 500,000. I didn't want to start shouting. What kind of nonsense is this? I said, when people like him are sending 500,000 naira, where am I going to get the balance from? That's what happened. I was angry. So I was angry with the person who told me. I called his friend, all right, to complain to his friend. That one now said, sir, can I say something? I said, what? He said, I also sent 500,000. I said, you are very stupid. I said, hang this phone now. I said, hang this phone now. And off to the bank and go and put the balance. What kind of nonsense is that? I told him, if people like you are giving 500K, where will I get the rest of the money from? He said, do you know how much it costs me to host each person? No, I've given them the breakdown. That each person that comes for this convention, this is what an adult, this is what it costs us. Many cannot afford it. Those of you who can, you're now giving like you cannot. I said, well, if I pray for you, God will collect that money by force. And you know God is a collector. Let me just tell you, that money you go give up. If you like, we pretend it. In the house of God, they don't share it equally. You can't go for a Christian convention. They say, okay, it costs each person. It costs them maybe 10,000 to host each person. You give 220, thinking I've tried now. One for me, one for somebody else. And God is looking at your bank balance. So your bank will soon collapse. He said, oh boy, go and ask the organizers the total cost. You go and meet them. He says 21 million. Very good. Now transfer them half of it before I get home. That's God talking, you know. Because he's living in your house. If he transfer half of it, you bring your bank, your account officer will call you, say, we just saw a movement of 11 million naira from your account. He said, don't worry, it's the Lord. How can you go there? And God said, see, you don't know why I gave you money. Not try me. Just to show you news flash, God will just see that CBN invites the MD of your bank. God said, did you see that? Do you know what they are discussing? Then you go to the bank on Monday. You will not know you sit at home. when you don't see the doors open, you could begin peeing. Because you said, know how much you left there. After all, your eye will clear. Then the bank will now open that. Sorry. But you couldn't get transport because of sit at home. Because this is what I will do. See all that money, I will collect every dime. You know, go see shishi again. Why are there money that I'm looking at you? You will bring out bank up. 11 million. Boom! I was a good boy. Good boy. That's my tithe. That is my tithe. But Lord, this one passed 10%. Say, bank it told you, it's not the same for everybody. That's a smaller side. Where were we? Hearers only. Yes, sir. What are hearers only? Hearers only are those people that they just come, they enjoy church. It's entertainment for them. They enjoy it. It's entertainment. Here's only. They come to criticize. They come to analyze. Do you agree with what the pastor said? There are times you shouldn't even have any time to hear what the pastor said. You are so busy soaking in the spirit that he's releasing. You are so busy soaking in the spirit he's releasing. Now that scripture is out of context. So, if I read New Testament, sometimes they say, it's out of context. Damn, have you noticed? Go and read your New Testament. Those Peter, James, and John were experts. They will quote a scripture. How does that relate? They heard the Lord Jesus Christ say it. You are the one that thinks out of context because you go to school. The spirit is in context. Hearers only, how do you know them? They are there, like I said, to analyze, to pick letters of the law with which to harass people or to argue. But they are not the message for today. The message is about doers. James said, be doers, not hearers only. What those ones do is deceive themselves. And I've been explaining that a doer is what you are. Whether you have done the word or not, by the time you are coming to church to hear that word, you are already a doer. It has not been preached to you, but you are already what? A doer. Who is a doer? Good, we are there now. Open your Bibles, please, with me to Psalm 119. That would be a good place to start talking about who this doer is. I just want to pick a few verses there. Let me just quickly read from 97, 113, and 163. What does 97 say? Oh, I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Please notice that. Oh, I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. He said, your commandments make me wiser. Let me just read it from New Living Translation. He said, oh, how I love your instructions. I think about them all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are my constant guide. Notice the expression, I love your instructions. Go to quickly to Psalm 11. What's the next one I said? 113. Verse 11, the same psalm. Just go down. Verse 113. I hate those with divided loyalties, but I love your instruction. You are my refuge and my shield. Your word is my source of hope. Get out of my life, you evil-minded people, for I intend to obey the commands of my God. I hate those with divided loyalties. I'm back to 113. But I love your instructions. The last one I said we should read is where? Which verse? 163. Thank you. If we go down to verse 163, what did he say? He said, let's start from 16. Let's just start from 161 because we were reading this one last time. Powerful people harass me without cause, but my heart trembles only at your word. I rejoice in your word like one who discovers a great treasure. I hate and abhor all falsehood, but I love your instructions. 165 says, those who love your instructions have great peace and do not stumble. Now, what am I trying to talk about here? First thing you note about somebody who's a doer. Now, listen, please. Can you see? I'm not trying to say the person who does the word, though. I'm saying somebody who is what? A doer. Even if he's asleep, he's a doer. Even if he's in church, like you're seated with me this morning and you're not doing anything, you are still a doer. You can be a doer when you are not doing. It is a doer that does. Doing is not what makes a man a doer. It's because he became a doer, then he starts doing when instructions come. And the first mark of a doer is the love he or she has for that word. The word is a person's delight. The man hears a scripture and is just happy. I told you those days, well, I hope to God I'm a doer, but those days, I thought everybody loved the word. Ask this girl that I married. The first time I went to see her, what I did was, what I carried was what? A cassette tape message. Take. I thought you, do you know, some people will come and buy you one nice dress, one flower, one jewelry. I felt, no, now, if you really want to show you are serious, you give the word. That's what I thought too. Honestly, that time I had something. I look back now. And I realized I was very, very, very foolish in the eyes of people. I had a large collection of tapes
One day, my pastor at that time, I told him that a friend of mine came to my house and borrowed, is it 20 or 30 of his tapes from me? He said, "You have 20 of my tapes." And like, I didn't say I have 20, I said he borrowed. He looked at me. His mouth opened and he walked away. You know who I'm talking about. His mouth opened. And I remember I was looking at him like, "So you think I came to this church to play?" No, that was the thought in my heart. "You think I came to this church to play?" No. So that time, I used to tell myself that any woman that agrees to marry me, I'm going to give her a ticket. You know what that ticket was? I didn't know young women thought that I meant that I would take her abroad. What I meant was, because then I did not used to lend anybody my tips. Yeah, my friend that borrowed a pack. It was a special case. Though. Most people couldn't handle them properly. I didn't give you my tips, no. One simple reason. They won't return it. Then they will not come and tell you, say, and they were playing it too. You know, called inside the, you know those days? How many of you ever had those things called inside? I mean, young people, boys these days, they won't know. These children, they won't know. Those is a tape. The one that used to be annoying is when it calls inside a car. But you know what? I don't mean to brag. I was an expert. I don't care the device you are. You call my tape, I'm getting it back. No, Jake, I'm telling you, I used to get it back. In fact, my own is that if you call my tape inside the device, just bring the device. I'll get it back. Don't try to remove it. I became so good at pulling it gently. They say, I said, "Look, I know how to do it." Then finally, when you give me back, some of you never did this. We used to iron cassettes. Yeah, we iron it. Iron it back to normal. But I can. You caught the word of God. You know, we iron it back. We used to iron it back. And then, you know, how many of you do surgery when they don't cut them? I was an expert. I'm not joking. Those days, if I had to travel, I used to carry my Sony twin cam to travel with me, put it in my box. You never can tell. You get it now, there's a good message. How will you copy it? So, you don't understand. This generation, that they enjoy you. You carry one device like this. This is my device. The one where I use my hand to transfer inside is hundreds. The recurrence alone is 300 and something. And that's the only one there. But now discover if you pay for, let me not advertise for anybody, one of these premium services, 3,000 a month for the whole family. Nobody's saying that I just go to this thing, their podcast, download. All the, you know, those things I used to hide. Download podcast now. Anybody in this generation that does not know scripture, the person that is, he needs to be flogged. They tell you, face the world. They face the world. I said the first time we heard Kedetegi, we got that. Now all the videos are on the internet. All the videos are on YouTube. And I'm like, Now you're in your house, you're streaming. What is streaming those days? The only stream we knew was literal stream, water. What literal stream? But man, we just had to. Now, why I'm telling this story is that, that time, I thought I was doing people a favor. So I said, if a woman agrees to marry me, I'm going to give her the right to my collection. And I thought that girls will fall over themselves to marry JK because of that. I didn't know they are checking the car he came with. I didn't know that's what they were checking. I thought that if I just stand like this, one guy stand on your right, Bentley, on the left, BMW, me, tips. the painful part, I honestly thought, I'm not exaggerating, I thought I would be the hot cake. You know, just by the way, when we talk about being possessed with the spirit, do you know it is now?
I'm appreciating it. I used to think those things were just a matter of discipline. It wasn't too. It was the Spirit of God. I look back some of the things we did those days. I just think, Banky, you guys were not normal. It was the Spirit of God. It was the Holy Spirit. A doer of the word is not somebody who has done the word. It's somebody who loves the word. Because like I said before, if you love the word, when the word enters you, it acts upon you, it now manifests in obedience. It's not you that's obeying the word, it's the word that's working. So I keep telling people, say, don't, I understand what we mean, but relax. Don't tell people, act on the word, act on the word. No. Tell them, love the word. Love it. Let it be something that moves you. Do you get my point? It moves you. It's, you know, when your body sees it, your body wants it. When your body sees it, your body wants it. And it manifests, therefore, in how you pay attention to it. So the next point about the doer is that he pays attention to the word. And it's in that scripture. No, look at it. Look at it. Go to that book of James. I want to read something here. Verse 25. What does verse 25 say? James chapter 1, verse 25. Look at what it says. Let me just back up a bit. From 22. Prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers. Or hearers only, who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, immediately he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. Look at verse 25. What does it say? But one who looks what? Intently at the perfect law. Can you see? What does he do? He looks intently. In fact, I read the commentary. Nobody said about that. He said, literally, what it means is this. He stooped down to take a close look into. It means he peers into. The commentary says, it is stronger than behold or contemplated. That he did what? He stooped down. Where is that thing? He kneels down there and is digging to look into. Eager to know, eager to understand. That's a doer. See, can you see? The person has not done. But he loves, one. And as a result, he does what? Pays attention. Like that Mark told us, the measure of thought and, he said the measure of thought and study. That's the word. He said the measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. The measure of what? Thought and study. So the other thing, he peers into, he bows down to look. A doer, I'm telling you, is somebody who pays attention because of love. Doesn't just come to church to hear and be entertained. At the end, he goes back and says, I didn't understand what pastor said. He takes a book and reads. People want to say, they hear two things and then they want to practice it. No. And he said, they are doers. No, a doer of the word is an attitude. The attitude with which he comes to church. The attitude with which she pays attention to the word. Loving the word. Ready to make sacrifices. Let me tell you something. Anything you love, you make sacrifices for. One young woman, one time, in fact, I remember that yesterday. She's going for Bible study once in a while. So I didn't see her for a while. So when I saw her on the road, and I said, oh, Alpha, I don't see you again on Saturdays. We used to have Bible study in the evening, like today night is morning, but then it's evening on Saturdays. He said, on Saturday she's busy, she washes clothes and all of that. I just said, okay. I just want to be sure you're fine. Because I was a bit concerned why I've not been seeing you. You know, there could be reasons. But now told me that you're washing clothes. So I said, it's fine. And I meant it's fine. Because it's a choice. I just said, what just simply happened is that you just told me you were not coming for the word. You were coming for the socials and it didn't work out the way you liked it. Maybe the word I'm preaching is not connecting with you. You see, it's my wife that used to do follow-up of people. Yes. She was, I've been telling you to come to Bible study. You don't come. I've been telling you to come. You don't come. She's angry with me that you need to encourage people like that. You want to hear the truth? None of these people she has encouraged like that has ever come. None. Not one. She my wife, they ask her at the end of the day. All the ones you have... Yeah. Those who come, want to come. Those you will be harassed, who will be telling you story. Some of them love her very much. Ah, mama, mama, mima, mommy, mama. And tomorrow she'll still be asking them, say, I don't see you. Me. Once I establish now, what I want to say is not scripture. It's not right. It's not wrong. It's just me. Once I establish, say, you don't want to come, I leave you. I only bother myself with people I know want to come. And you don't come. Do you know my mind? I'm concerned. Like that lady I was telling you about. I was concerned because I saw you a number of times. I didn't say, ah, what happened to you? Once she told me, it's a choice that she made. I back off. She can now. My wife will call you and be telling you why it is important to hear the word of God. See, I tell you, see her. As an adult, you are seeing now. You don't think she knows it's important to hear the word of God? She don't want to hear them. The people that can harass are my children. When I'm preaching, I tell my daughter, if you look away, that one God gave to me. A young person around, I go harass your soul. But once you're an adult, choices, key to destiny. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. So you make sacrifice for what you love. You do. That's why I keep telling people, please, you want to go abroad, you want to go, you can go anywhere you like. Oh, it's good. Amen? Amen? But please, before you make a choice, choose many things. Like, consider many things. And if you're a Christian, if the word is not paramount in your thought process in making a choice, you are not a doer. No, get my point. I'm not... Do I know you? No. The person I'm talking to, I don't know you. Have I seen you before? You are not a doer. If access to the word, to fellowship, you know, I've said it, we talked about it the other time. The word of God is not just words, letters. Brethren can laugh and it's the word of God. Brethren may just laugh. The voice of God sounds like many waters. The voice of God can thunder. So you should be it in mind. How do I interact? If it's not primary in your heart, you're not a doer. I don't care how much you think you're slaving for God, you are not a doer. One of the things that marks out a doer is that love that expresses itself. Number one, I mentioned in attention. It literally means to stoop down to take a close look into. That is, the person peers into. And of course, I said, it manifests in the sacrifices. The other things, let me just add them to it, that characterize a doer. A doer is heaven-minded. I need to say that. You know, when we began today, I said that a lot of our teachings these days, they neglect eternity. Let me say this, and I think I can begin to round up. I will have made my point. One of the characteristics of a hearer only, a mere hearer, is a person who comes to the scriptures to find keys to make this earthly life successful. Do you hear what I said? They teach the scriptures down to business principles. They break the scriptures down to material things alone. A true doer, who's not a mere hearer, is heaven-minded. I'm telling you that today by the Spirit of God. A doer of the word is a heaven-minded person. When a fellow is making judgment, he puts in perspective eternity, eternal reward, the day of judgment of the saints, when he will have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Because no matter what you achieve on this earth, Paul made it clear, Peter also made it clear, that they will be burnt. Yes. Everything will pass away. Somebody who is a doer of the word. One thing that's in the fellow's heart. You know, people just come. You know, that's why I'm against what they say. You sow and you reap. Don't turn the word of God to just methods for results. Please, don't turn the word of God to mere methods for results. The word of God is a place of transformation. If you're more concerned about, see this body we have, one day we are going to lay it down. The fine houses, we are going to leave them behind. The other day I was thinking of Alhaji Aliko Dangote, richest man in Africa, richest man in Nigeria, richest black man on the earth. You know, when he turned on the refinery, when he started producing, instantly they added $20 billion to his net worth. And $20 billion was added to his net worth. $20 billion US dollars in calculating of his net worth. And his friends believe that the net worth they are calculating for him is not correct. You check Forbes, they say 30, it's worth $30 billion. And Atedola, hey, oh boy, what did he say that day? Atedola valued his friend's wealth at $80 billion. Yeah. Now, what I'm talking about it, last week, they announced that they are doubling the capacity, more than doubling the capacity of the refinery from 650,000 barrels a day to 1.4 million barrels a day. So it started making me think. It says 60-something-year-old man. Eh? So which part of this refinery will he carry to heaven or? And I realized that none is going. Did I say for that you shouldn't know? I'm not, of course, you know me. I'm not saying that you should not do it. Because when it doubles it. I mean, I think it's, they are that soaking like 30,000 extra, you know, staff members. Yes. They will need to employ 30,000 people. Now, construction period, it has its own manpower needs. Then there's what they call the value chain. So that you employ 1,000 people. They are serviced by at least 2,000 people around who are selling food and all of that. And there's a clinic nearby that needs to employ doctors and nurses and every other person, which, you know. And then there's a school nearby where the children, that's what I mean by value chain. So you put a big thing like that. So I believe he should do it. I should do it. I was thinking about it last week when they made the announcement. I said, now, wow. So which part of this will Alhaji now carry when he's traveling? All this work. Because when Jesus comes, the refinery will be the first to go because it's combustible. You know, he has fuel. No, it will go. I've just thought. You know what I'm saying of this? So it would be foolish for anybody not to consider this thing I'm saying. Because no matter what, I mean, Paul Getty, all this one I'm saying is child's play. Rockefeller lived to be, is it 99? It was almost 100 years. The man lived very long. Do you know what I noticed after? He still died. The world's richest man lived to be 90-something. He still died. It's very foolish of us to be behaving as if this earth is all there is to it. Brethren, I don't have much to say about that. Then just think about it. Because there's a wrong spirit that's permeated the church of today. That's what thinking everything is about this now. The pastor has to build the largest church, the largest auditorium. Brethren, if it doesn't count for eternity, don't bother yourself with it. Jesus made, you know, sometimes we don't look at the Bible very well. Jesus made it clear, there was a poor man. He had sores. He laid at the gate of the rich man. And then one day he died. That the rich man died, the poor man died, both of them died. Do you know, with all of that stories, do you know an average Christian today would rather be the rich man than be Lazarus at his gate? I'm telling you the truth. We will now start preaching doctrines that show that, you see, that poor man was poor because he didn't know his rights. You see, please, I know people preach funny doctrines like that. Leave that in. You should know the lesson in each lesson. Yes, sir. Do you get my point? Yes, each story has its lesson. Come on, don't be ridiculous and be analyzing that the eagle has a beak and it has a claw. He's mounting up with the wings we are talking about. Oh. He tells you how he mounts up with wings, how he takes care of his children. He now says, hey, when it comes to diligence, go to the ant. When it comes to being cool and not be shouting, go to what? The snakes, the serpents. You go to the serpents. Let's be careful. The summary of the story of Lazarus is one thing. When you're making decisions, ask yourself, what would eternity be like? And if given the opportunity now to be a man with sores at the gate of the rich man, or be the rich man who will end up in hell after, or be that poor man who will go to Abraham's bosom. Brethren, let your sense talk to you. Because poor man, it's for a few years. Rich man is for a few years. Not even a drop in the ocean of eternity. Pastors, preach it in your churches. Brethren, rather be poor than walk in unrighteousness. Don't take the Lord for granted. Don't take the Lord for granted. Don't just think that you can do anything. Once you give offering, it's acceptable. Many offerings you bring to a church, it's nothing but reporting yourself. Human beings, they trace the source of money. How much more heaven? I always said, when I give, pastor will know. What will God know? Because this is money of disobedience. It's money of harlotry. It's money of iniquity. It's mammon of wickedness. What's the point I'm making? A doer has eternity in mind. So when he or she is approaching the scripture, it's not just what you produce now. It's not just what you produce now. It's what is the eternal reward associated with this thing. This temporal mindedness, earthly mindedness that's afflicted us is a terrible thing. And there is the reason why the earth is not even receiving deliverance under our hands. Yeah, because when it's going to receive deliverance, sons of God will be ready to make sacrifices. Fact, most of the things that your life will produce by your walking with God materially, you won't partake in it. Doesn't sound nice, but I've just told you the fact. What did Abraham enjoy? I can assure you my conviction. Abraham is the reason why you can build skyscrapers. Abraham is the reason why you can fly from Nigeria to the United States in 11 hours. Abraham is the reason why you can go from here to Europe in 6 hours. Abraham is the reason. His faith downloaded that technology onto the earth. He never saw it. Moses. Let me tell you about Moses. He was raised in the palace, you know that? Then he left the palace and decided to go and suffer affliction by faith. Then by faith he left Egypt and went to where? The wilderness. He got to Midian. Remember that? He became what? A shepherd. A shepherd, formerly a prince. And he was a shepherd for the next 40 years. Then he returned to a stubborn, recalcitrant, hard-to-lead set of people. At the point in time, he asked God, who gave birth to these children? Me? Ungrateful human beings. You deliver them first day, they go broke. Did I beg you for deliverance? I was. Then he had to be pleading to God, please don't kill them. At the end of the day, they entered the promised land without him. That's where I'm going. After all that suffering, did he get to the promised land? After suffering and suffering and suffering, wilderness, did they stay? Just marry wife, small. All I did was marry one wife. Not as if he went and married three wives. One, rebellion. So what will a man now enjoy in this life now? He can't even marry a wife again. His own brother and sister rebelled because he married a Cushite woman. How dare he? And the guy looking like, after all this suffering, just to marry one wife. No peace. All of it for what? The promised land. Did he enjoy the promised land? Let me tell you the truth. He was looking forward to the promised land. I hope you're aware of that. He was. So when God said, we don't enter, he looked God. Are you serious? God said, no, you won't. Please now. God said, no. It's okay. I know when to catch him. He used all the keys and the techniques and the scriptures and the prophetic word to trap the Lord. The Lord said, hey, before you come and spoil this thing, don't mention it again. Everything he suffered for brethren, he didn't enjoy a bit of it. And it's in the scriptures. All this died in faith, not receiving the promise. So, where I'm going is that the real thing, work, the real material blessings that your walk with God produces, it's not you that will enjoy it. It's your descendants. That's a scriptural pattern. And you have to see, when God gave a promise to Abraham, one of the things that marked men like Abraham was they were satisfied with hearing a word. So will your descendants be. And Abraham believed God. And God said, that's my man. You don't get the point. All God said to him was what? This is what your descendants will be like. And the Bible said he did what? He believed God. And God said, this is a righteous man. If you want to be a real man of God, a real woman of God, you have to learn to take joy in what your life produces on the earth that you don't necessarily have to participate in. So this earth that you want to die for, the earth is not even experiencing it simply because people are not willing to die for it. You want your reward now. You won't get, see, if you want to walk with God, you won't get it now. Be happy to look at your children and say, you will never be a slave. That should satisfy you. Say, you'll be an employer of thousands. Even if I'm an employee all the days of my life, but for your sake, I will sanctify myself. That's what Jesus did. He said, for their sakes, I sanctify myself. A doer of the word is what? Eternity minded. He's destiny minded. He's calling minded. She's judgment minded that one day I have to give an account for my life. A doer of the word is always thinking, is this in line with the call of God for my life? One day I have to give an account. Now listen, you haven't done anything. It's just the attitude. It's a doer attitude I'm describing. This is why you sit down where the word is coming and the word can enter and produce. It can, of course, the first thing it brings to you is what? Faith. And then obedience. That's what the word does. If you don't have this attitude, listen to me. Listen, this is what I'm describing now. If you don't have this attitude, you can get up and declare scripture like I teach here all the time also. We call every morning, hey, Kalabasha, in the name of Jesus, the Lord is my shepherd. If you don't have this attitude, you are wasting time. This attitude was what a man like Abraham had, so that when God speaks once, the word is resounding in his ears for the next 10 years. Do you get my point? Have you ever asked yourself why those men didn't have their music player, MP3 player, or mobile phone? They didn't even have Bibles like you have, books like you and I have now, that we can carry so many books in one small bag. Then now we can carry all those books in one small device. They did not have it yet, they had faith. And what do we have these days? People have all these things, but the fundamental attitude of the doer is not with them. And that's the message I'm preaching. Let me rush through this. It's good, it's good. We still have some things to say, you know. So we'll come back again and say it next time. Is that not so? No, okay. It's good, Abby. We've just stopped now so that, I'm not asking your opinion on that because the okay's attitude is that, no, we are not going anywhere. We are going somewhere. Let me just say two more things about a doer and then I'll leave it there. I've explained the fact that a doer is so minded about destiny that God gave me life for a reason. And I have to account one day. And literally one day I will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and I will give an account. We'll talk about that in details. A doer, three more things I'll say about the doer. He constantly seeks to please God in everything he does. The pleasure of God is paramount in his or her life. It's not how he or she feels, it's how the Lord feels. I said something earlier, please, let me just say that. I jumped it, but good enough now I'm saying it. Please, so that I've sounded the warning before, I'm sounding the warning again. So that you will not tap into judgment for iniquity you did not commit. Don't approve it in your heart. Your turn, Nico. Let me say it again. So that you will not tap into judgment for sin you did not commit, do not approve it in your heart. A bad thing is a bad thing. Learn it and disapprove of it in your heart. No matter how angry you are, learn what is right, approve of what is right in your heart. What is wrong, disapprove of it in your heart. Please. I told you that one of the things that, you know, Donald Trump. How many people know Donald Trump, American president? Najee Trump. When the man became American president, of course, he made life very miserable for undocumented immigrants. If you don't have the right to stay, it doesn't sound nice to other people. So a lot of our guys were like, ah, you guys do Donald Trump. Hey, Donald Trump, do like. I said, I don't. So now, why do Africans seem to support this man? You know, that's the election that he lost to Joe Biden. In our nature, a church had the street parade. Did you hear that? Did you hear what I said? In our nature, a whole church lined up on the street supporting Donald Trump. He was so impressed. If I were him, I would call the pastor of the church, give an eternal visa to be coming and going the way he likes. I'm telling you. But what I'm telling the whole story is that, so some of our guys now sit there. Why are my Africans supporting him despite all of these things that they say he's doing? He's racist, he's this, he's that. He called your country a dash hole country and then now called it a disgrace country. Why are you still supporting him? And we tell them that it's about all this LGBT abortion rights and all of that they are trying to export. They were trying to export. Now, this is where I'm going with the whole story. And I say, is you people those things bother? Did you hear what I said? That's what they tell us. He says, you people, he bothers. And I've heard this consistently. We live here, we have learned to live with it. And that's my message, part of my message to you today. Please, so you do not participate in judgment for sins you did not commit. Don't approve it. Don't tolerate it in your heart. It bothers us in Nigeria. Let it bother you there too. That was what saved Lot. Lot didn't go out fighting, but it bothered him. It made him pray. He was uncomfortable. Listen to this. He voted, not literal voting, you know, there was no voting that time, but he voted against it. Some things are more important to him than other things. If they say, leave your country, go back to another country, go say, hey, go back now. Did I tell you I couldn't bless you in your own house? Let me tell you the truth. If you're a Nigerian, they're harassing you in America. Board the next plane. Go home. God will take care of you there. I heard of people, they're not sleeping in council houses. And they, you had a duplex in Enugu. Don't worry, those who are you are owing. I told you, pride is what destroys people. Say, what will we say happened to us? We went away for 2 years. We now came back empty-handed. Are you not empty-handed where you are right now? Is it coming back that's your problem? And don't assume that nothing is going to work. Just get up and go. Please let me sit on my message, which is that, brethren, if you have to vote for things that matter to God. If God says, for this cause, the judgment of God comes upon the sons of disobedience, vote against that. Don't ever say in your heart, it's you people it bothers. Let it bother. I'm sounding this warning to Christians everywhere. Let iniquity bother you. No matter how much it's been normalized, let iniquity bother you. We can be angry with Donald Trump. Oh, I have a friend. He doesn't like Donald Trump. Eh? But he said America needs a crazy man like this. He said that we had lost all forms of common sense. He said, we need somebody to jump, like, how do you do? Knock our head back and knock the things back in order. How can a woman just get up and say, a man just get up and say, no, I feel like a woman. Then he takes one or two drugs. He's already 25 or 32. Then he wears boxing glove to go and compete against women in women boxing. And the governor says she'll sue Donald Trump because of that. When he said, no, I won't accept. Say, I see you in court. Donald Trump said, don't problem. We'll see you in court. You are going to lose the next election. Common sense. How can you be defending nonsense? A doer of the word. He respects holy things. And is always thankful. And last of all, please, I need to go over these three. When next you come, please remind. Well, I may not anyway. I keep on saying I will, but I may not get them. Just say it now. A doer of the word respects holy things. A doer of the word is a thankful person, always thankful. We've talked about Thanksgiving again and again previous times. And last of all, I'll add this one to it. He admires good things. Admires godly people. A doer of the word we admire. We began with it. We admire Elia Sharibu. We admire a Deborah. We admire people who agree to die for the cause of Christ. A doer of the word. That's what they are. Such a person, when he now sits down, the word cannot act upon him. The word can act upon her. The word can transform that life. It is not what the person is actively trying to do. It's what the word now does in the life. I hope you got my point.
Yes, sir.
You're not going to struggle to prosper in this life. Oh. You just have to be a doer of the word. You're not going to struggle to be healed. Oh. You just have to be a doer of the word. You don't have to struggle to enter into your destiny. Just be a doer of the word. You know what a doer means now? You know what it means now? I don't mean you get up to go and do. No, the word will do in you. Yeah. Did you get that English I spoke?
Yes.
Ijoma is checking the grammar. The word we do in you. The word we do. The word we do. The word is the one that will do you. You're not the one that's acting on the word. The word will act on you. Now let me prophesy as I close. The word will heal your diseases.
Amen.
The word will give you peace at home.
Amen.
You know, I hear of marriage troubles. The other day, somebody was talking on the phone. I walked over to my wife while I was on the phone and I rubbed her face. I told her I love you so much because I saw the troubles we were having and I realized that it was not me, but God at work in me. I've been married to my wife for 26 years. I've never one day thought, no, why did I marry this girl? Not for one moment. But again, it's not banking. Somebody said, let me go and marry from where you married. I look at it, you must be what now? Let's just say a foolish person. Is the word that works. So I'm saying to you, the word will bring peace to your house.
Amen.
The word will bring health to your body.
Amen.
The word will give you fruitfulness of all kinds.
Amen.
The word will establish your destiny.
Amen.
I need to say this to somebody. The word, listen, this week, it's going to happen to somebody here. A place you wanted to go, you thought that was where God wanted to be. The door will close. It's the word that closed the door. And that's the one you're ahead. Don't cry, don't cry, don't cry. Laugh. When you get to that point, laugh. Because the word will close the door. The word will close the door.
Amen.
The word will prevent your children from being raped.
Amen.
It's very important. The word will guard your children wherever they go.
Amen.
Many people have gone into trouble. They are captive. They are sexual slaves. Not because they wanted to be, but because circumstances in life trapped them. One of our staff was preaching the other day. She said, when she married, she was a virgin. She said, but listen, let me not brag about it. 3 times I was almost raped. 3 times I was delivered. She says, what I said, it's not something I can brag about. It's the working of the Lord. What am I trying to say to you? The word will go out and defend your children.
Amen.
The word will go out and protect you.
Amen.
You hear of one chance, one chance. Any one chance prepared for you, they will enter under that bridge.
Amen.
You will not enter that car.
Amen.
Hey, under the bridge is the one that has water. I don't mean bridge that they miss their road. Though. They will not drive in peace. No, 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 no. The car will somersault. They want to carry somebody who the word is protecting. No evil shall befall you.
Amen.
No plague will come near your dwelling.
Amen.
The Lord will give his angels charge concerning you.
Amen.
They will keep you in all your way.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen, brethren, the word will walk in your life.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's bow down our heads and give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you.